Hey, it's Kayak Fishing Radio. I'm Chip Gibson, the tree hugger, and it's Thursday night. Holy cow, we got Mark Cubed in the chat room, man. We got Mr. Mark Lozier, Mr. Mark Wheeler, and Mr. Mark Watanabe. It's Mark Cubed. And on the row with me right now is the landing crew himself. Happy to have the wife back in town. Am I correct?
Oh, very correct.
All right. So, and you got to go fishing. That was pretty nice.
Finally. Yeah, finally. Yes. Well, it was one of those things where it was, I wake up early anyway. And she didn't have to be into work till about 10. And she looked at me and she goes, "What time is the lake open?" And I was like, "Well, if I go to this one lake, I can go right now." She's like, "Well, you got until 8:30. I was like, "Boom!" You get the smoke trail coming out of my sphincter. You know, it was hot. So got in the truck, drove over there. I forgot my camera in the truck. I almost forgot my PFD. I was moving that fast to get on the water. Just threw everything on. Fished Lake Smith. It's one of the local lakes. I can literally walk to there if I wanted to. And hit one of the closest points, rocky points I could find, right off the front end, right off the ramp, and immediately started marking bait and large fish marks. And
large fish marks.
Yes, on my Lowrance HD-S5.
That's cheap. Go ahead. All right.
And, marked it, kind of slid around it, anchored up, started throwing a deep diving crankbait, and I didn't get it down to the bottom before I had my first bass on. And I was thinking, this is great, you know, first cast, first bass, this is going to be, you know, a good couple of hours.
Right.
Unhooked them, dropped them back in. Next cast, got it down to the bottom, was running, hit the first little pebble rock, bounced it off there, and got slammed again. Another nice bass. And I'm thinking, this is two bass, two casts. I'm on cloud nine right now.
Good.
And got a couple more. And then I started, you know, switching up baits, you know, because the bite was starting. I was starting to get the smaller bass. So I switched up to, you know, a jerk bait. I didn't even get into, two or three pauses before I had my first bass again, another big one. And this is the way it went on for another hour. You know, switching baits, top water they were hitting. Because they started, what most people don't understand is in the wintertime, if you start catching bass, it gets the rest of them agitated. And they'll start moving up in the water column because the shad can feel the agitation, and they start moving up. And I was starting to catch them on buzz baits and popping plugs. So, it was one of those, perfect storm kind of days. Wind was blowing, the water temps were fluctuating, and it was just one of those things where I could do no wrong. So, I love it.
Sushi asked water temps.
Was fluctuating between 47 and 51.
37 and 51. Wow,
47.
That's huge.
47.
Oh, 47.
Yeah,
47 to 51.
Yeah.
You say the wind was blowing, so, that could blow some.
It was blowing out of the south, which was blowing a lot of water and stuff.
Probably some shallows.
Out of these coves.
Yeah.
And into the spot, and, that. It was just warmer for whatever reason. So,
yeah. Cool. All right. Well, that sounds great, man. And it's good to know that. I mean, we see in the chat room that Mr. Lozier and let's see, what does it say here? I asked, did he make it in? Yep, he's logging in. So we got Mark Lozier and Chris are back together again. Your family's back together again. So everybody's together for the holidays. It's awesome. And joining us here now, live on the air, the man, the myth, the legend. He walks, he talks, he crawls on his belly like a snake. He smokes rope and no, he doesn't. Chuck. What are you doing, man?
What's going on?
How you been?
Been good, man. Been good.
Yeah?
Yep, over at my parents' house. I'm on the phone outside. Today's my dad's 60th birthday, so we're over here celebrating the big 60 and hanging out.
Awesome. And happy birthday to your pop there. Today is another lucky day, too, in that I've been happily married now for 30 years. So,
congratulations.
Yeah, so congrats to your pop, and it's a great day. Kind of sucks, though, right here 3 days before Christmas, but kind of gets overwhelmed by the holidays. So we moved it. We moved our anniversary this year to March 16th. Yeah, because Aretha Franklin is going to be at the Fabulous Fox Theater downtown Atlanta. So got two seats up in the balcony, and we're going to be hanging with some R-E-S-P-E-C-T. So, who is this here? Holy cow. It's the mermaid herself. Good evening, Dee.
Hey, everybody. How are you?
Oh, we're doing great. It's, we've got, it's awesome, right? Here we are approaching the holiday. Mark Lozer and Chris Lally Lozer. they're back together. Mark made it home safe tonight. And landing crew, Mark Wheeler, his wife made it safely in from her last deployment there, so they're all back together. It's Chuck's pop's 60th birthday, and it's my 30th wedding anniversary.
And it was just Brian's birthday. I have to add
happy birthday to Brian.
And everybody else. Oh, my God. It's such a fun season, isn't it?
Isn't it awesome?
Mm-hmm.
So, let me go back real quick to Chuck. Chuck, I saw that you did take your pop out fishing. How did he? It looked like you had some pretty good luck there, huh?
Yeah, man, it was a lot of fun. It's been a while since I had my dad out, and having the new kayak, he really wanted to try it out. He got tired of looking at it sitting in the back of my truck, and he was like, "You got to take me out in that thing." So we launched at one of my favorite locations. It's simple and easy launch site. And held the flat, and my dad proceeded to put the whooping on me for a little while. So, but no, it was good, man. We caught a lot of fish and a lot of quality fish. I got into a really good trout fight and caught a lot of really nice trout, and it was awesome, man. You know, I said it in my report that's on yakangler.com and some of the other websites. You know, that day would have been great for anybody to have that kind of a successful catch, but to share that with my pop right before he turned 60 was something pretty special, man. I'll never forget that. And he said something to me while we were fishing that really kind of got to me. And it sounds kind of silly, but he goes, "Oh, he made a cast, and it was like one of the worst casts I think I've ever seen in my life." And I said, "Wow, Dad, really?" And he goes, Hey, I taught you everything you know." And I'm like, I go, "Yeah." He goes, "Yeah, but you just perfected it." And I'm like, "Oh man, that's cool." So, but it was a lot of fun, man. Actually I had a trip today. I ran a charter today, and, God, man, the fishing is going off down here. It's so ridiculous. My clients, I had a father and son who I've taken out before, and, They did real well. They caught, I lost count at 15 reds, and we were somewhere in the realm of 40 trout, so it was a really good day. But same place I took my dad, so the fishing is just consistent, man. It's been great.
Well, keep it going, man, for a few more weeks until I can get down there, so.
Yeah, one of the weird things, though, and maybe somebody up north, maybe Mark in the chat room or Wheeler can maybe chime in on what he thinks about this, but or even you. Dee and I have been finding that, almost all the fish that we've been finding have had what looks like sea lice all over them. And I've never seen it that bad. Like, I've never seen parasites on a fish as bad as I saw it the last couple trips. And every fish I've caught has it. And most of the fish are just infested with it on their bellies. So, I don't know, little clear, like almost tan-colored little bugs, man. I don't know. Weird.
Huh.
I don't know what they are. Maybe.
Did you get some good pictures and stuff?
I got some pictures of just the fish. I didn't zoom in on the critters, but I will next time I go. But, yeah, it was interesting, to say the least.
Yeah, get some good pictures of them and send them to the DNR, the DNR folks, you know, the DNR, and let them. I always report stuff like that if it's something that I've never seen before, you know, like a strange species of fish or something like that.
Yeah.
I've seen this
particular little parasite before. I've just never seen it in this abundance.
Right.
She was even saying that when she pulled her kayak out of the water after doing a day's worth of a trip, she'd have them all over her kayak. And I had them on my waders when I got out of the water today. So it was like,
yeesh.
I don't know, weird. Yeah, strange.
Dang.
I seem to find a lot more sea lice when we have a lot more of a balmy section, you know, point where you had the water temps are dropping, and also they'll shoot up real fast for a day or two, is when all of a sudden you'll see a buttload of sea lice this time of year, like out of nowhere. So I don't know if that's what's happening down where you guys are at, but
is that what it is?
Sea lice? That's what it sounds like.
Yeah.
And everyone says, well, sea lice, those are ocean-dwelling fish. Well, aren't you fishing salt water, and isn't it the same as the water that's in the ocean? Yeah,
right.
It's one of those things, you know. There's no correlation, if you know, especially up here because the bay is so large. You know, if you thought about it, the same, you know, if you catch fish on the Susquehanna Flats, which is way up there in the bay, as far as you can get from the ocean, you still catch fish with sea lice on them. And you can't necessarily say that bass or whatever came all the way from the ocean up there holding these sea lice. So it's one of those things, you know, the more you think about it, you know, if you look at that water fluctuation and if it goes up, you know, 3 or 4 degrees, you know, especially in the springtime, I think you'll see them again with that water temp. We'll do a sharp spike like that is when you'll see them again. It's just a time, just like flies. You know, if you have a really cold snap, and all of a sudden you get a 70-degree day, all of a sudden there's more flies flying around the neighborhood, that's why.
Hmm.
Flies of the ocean. There you go.
Yeah. Did you see that Yak Sushi just put a link to a picture up there and asking if that's what they look like? Kind of gnarly looking. That's why I quit eating amberjack. I started opening them up, and I know that they don't hurt anything, you know, that you just, you know, you're going to fillet the fish and skin them out and stuff. But the amberjack, you know, when they get all those worms in the, you know, and they get them in around the tail end of the fish, I just couldn't stand eating it. So.
Yeah, that's the way black drum
looked. These aren't, they're not a, They were just really, really small. They weren't completely developed.
Uh-huh.
And they were just all over the fish. And I've never seen so many. I've seen the larger ones when you pull a grouper out or, you know, just a bigger, you know, redfish. And they're at least, you know, a half inch plus. These were just really, really tiny and just all over the place. I've never seen so many. It just seemed like an infestation. It was just wrong.
Right.
They're not getting into the actual skin of the fish or anything like that. And Chuck had posted one that had the nice trout on there, and we all know those scales are really, really tiny. So you know they're not getting into the fish.
Right.
They're just all over the place. It's like, wow, you know, I take the kayak out and I turn it over and try to spray it down, and they're already dried by the time I get home. And
mm-hmm.
I'm like, what the hell are these things all over my kayak? And it was putting two together, that sea lice that actually died on my kayak. So I just never saw the quantity. It was in my terms, an infestation. We've just never seen so many that tiny. You know, we've seen them bigger, and you'd see one or two on a fish, but not like that, at least that's my experience. So I'm like, Chuck, you got them over there too? And he's like, yeah, they're everywhere. I'm like, oh.
Yeah. The ones I was talking about are more sand flea-ish. People that are looked on the chat room, those are the hitchhikers. Those are the leech kind of worms, the ones that actually stick and bite into the fish. You see them more with your black drum, your gnarlier species. Your AJs will have them. But yeah, those little sand fleas, the ones that actually bite you on the beach, those are the ones I was talking about more than anything, because those sea worms you'll find everywhere on every fish. So just one of those things.
Yeah, get some pictures of them. It'd be interesting to take a look. And I'd be interested to see what they look like. Joining us now on Buzzard's Row is the man with the golden voice, Mr. Greg Becker. How are you, sir?
Doing very well. Thank you very much.
There you go. And are we ready for the holiday season?
Why, is it Christmas Eve already?
Almost, man.
Dude, don't scare me like that.
Don't scare me. I haven't got any presents yet. No.
Yeah, there's plenty of stuff left in the stores, and it's all half price the day after.
Yeah, right. So just put IOUs under the tree. Big boxes, little paper inside. Merry Christmas. Or, ball bearings so that it makes noise when they shake them.
Exactly.
Are you seeing any sea lice in your area?
I must say I've not really been looking for any sea lice, and I haven't noticed them on any of these scads and scads of fish we've caught over the last few weekends.
Right. Well, let me catch this one here. Area code 757. Good evening. Who's that?
Hey, it's Lozier.
Who?
Lozier.
Oh, hey.
The other Mark.
The other Mark. All right. Yeah, I'm like, okay, there's Wheeler. Did Wheeler drop out and come back in? No. Okay. So you made it home safely, man?
Yeah, actually, it was the best flight I've had home. Arrived about 8 o'clock this morning.
Okay.
Yes,
so,
sir.
I'm glad you made it, but I'm gonna ask the dumb question. Is like, so I know that you and Chris got married here recently. So where is it that you work that you have to travel back and forth, or are you one of those airline types or something like that?
No, actually, I'm a contractor, a remodeler, and we have a very, very great client here who we've totally redone one house at the beach, his office, and he owns another home in St. Augustine, and he's graceful, gave us a very nice job down there, so to speak. So, and with the economy and the times the way they are, we couldn't turn it down. So,
no kidding. Well, that's great.
Yeah, so we're down there working, and he's given us quite a few plane rides back home when we want to get back to the family. So, it's been pretty good. It does suck. I can't compare it to the guys. I mean, you know as well as I do, we've all been in the, you and I and a couple other people in the chat room, been in the service. So,
yeah.
Being away isn't the same to all that, but still being away from home, no matter if you're 10 hours or across the world, it's still kind of hard. But
you're home for the holidays, and that's awesome.
Same. Yeah, I'll be home through January 2nd. So
cool.
Right. Yeah.
Cool. So do you want to pitch in on the sea lice issue here?
Well, I mean, from the pictures I saw, and that's what I believe they are, is the sea lice. We check them, and I have to say, I heard Mark talking, but I was doing 10 things at once here. That's out here in the Virginia region. We know when our striped bass are either Chesapeake Bay bass or the northern variety went by if they have those sea lice on them. And they're just hitchhikers. They're not even a parasite per se that hurt the fish or harm the fish. They're just, like I said, hitchhikers. So that's just how we kind of determine. Now, I don't know Chuck's region that well, but it could very well be that they're coming into that shallower, warmer water area where there's maybe more bait than where they are out in the ocean. They're also migrating maybe from a more northern, colder climate and coming down to like Dee and Chuck's area. So, and that's why they have those lice on them. But that's definitely here in our region when we know our striped bass are either ocean dwelling or, like I said, the ones that are live in the bay in the summer and leave in the bay this time of year. That's how we kind of determine which ones are which. So,
right. Now, Chuck,
I mean, they're not anything compared to the worms that you were speaking of earlier, because we get the big nasties up here. We don't have black drum. I shouldn't say we don't catch the black drum like everybody down in Florida, the quote-unquote good eating size. We get the big nasty 40, 50 inchers up here that they are full of that worms. But it's two different things.
Yeah.
Now, I don't know. I'm not a biologist or anything. I don't know if those, you know. Or in the same species, genera, or whatever like that, but those do no harm to the fish, but that's definitely a ocean-dwelling thing.
Yeah, I asked a biologist when I was down in Pensacola and asked him about the worms that we found in the fish, you know, and he was a pretty reputable guy, and he said, they won't hurt you, you know, just cook the meat and everything like that. This is the
right.
ones that we were finding. They're just like those real tiny little threads, you know, that you would see running through the meat and stuff. And it's like, it just kind of turned it off for me. I mean, I loved nothing more than a nice piece of slab of amberjack on the grill, you know, and put it on a nice,
right.
nice sesame seed bun and some onions and stuff on top of it. But it just started turning me off. So, but throw them back. They're more fun to catch than they are to eat. So.
Yeah, and I don't know with the amberjack, but I mean, like I said, with the drum here, they don't get wormy or whatever until they're older species too. So I don't know if it's something that they develop early and then it just migrates or whatever, gets larger over time or whatever. But you don't see that in the more juvenile drum that are, like I said, once again, are the good eating size. But definitely with the big drum, because there's guys over here that catch them. Like I said, we have big black drum, and if Wheeler's still in the room, he can tell you. I mean, we have huge ones. When you're out in the bay fishing, it looks like a cloud you would think was cutting out the sun, but actually it's just a school of black drum, huge.
Right.
And there's still some people around here that keep them still and eat them, and they'll be wormy and almost look like you can count the rings like on a tree, you know, the meat's so old. But I don't know. I don't mess with them like that. We catch them, slime up, and then throw them back in the water. So.
Yeah. Yeah,
I wouldn't be able to tell you from the eating side if it was good, bad, or indifferent.
Well, and coming from South Florida, I was born in Miami, spent a lot of time fishing down the Keys and everything like that when I was a kid. And we were always taught not to eat anything longer than your arm.
Because yeah.
of the ciguatera.
Right.
And I don't know if anybody in Buzzard Row here or anybody in the chat room has ever got a case of the ciguatera, but it is a nasty thing. It kind of makes you feel like you're on fire.
But
a lot of people get it.
I don't know what you're talking about, so I've never had it.
Do you ever heard of ciguatera?
No, I sure haven't. Mm-mm. Not me.
Ciguatera poisoning? Nobody?
No.
Yeah, you get ciguatera from eating certain reef species. They get it from eating certain prey items on the reef that carry a toxin, and you're right. If you get it, your entire body feels like you're burning from the inside out.
Who was it?
Amongst other things. I got a very good friend of mine whose wife caught it.
Somebody that we were fishing
like
with
that.
Not too long ago said they had caught ciguatera from eating a barracuda.
Yeah, barracuda
yeah.
is a common one that people take a chance, especially down in the Caribbean.
Yeah.
Barracudas.
What is the cure for species. This problem?
What is the cure for it? I don't know. We'll have to look it up. Usually the people that I've known that have got it either died or got over it. So if it didn't if it didn't kill you, you were just hurting for a while.
Well, you can die from pneumonia, and you can get over pneumonia. So
yeah, so
there's gotta be
depends upon if you're in.
If they have a spelling, they can post it in the chat, and I can look it up later.
Yeah, it's like cigar, and then I'll look it up. But yeah, Greg, you're overmodulating just a little bit, man. So I had found something that I was going to share with everyone. It's a version of The Night Before Christmas. And I know it's not The Night Before Christmas, but I'll put the link to it. I'm not going to recite it because I haven't practiced it. But here it goes. There we go. In the chat room, the Sport Fisherman's View of the Night Before Christmas. So share that with a little bit. And so anyways, yeah, what do we got coming up? Christmas in a couple of days. Hope everybody gets what they're looking for. I know that those folks that have just gotten their families back together, that's a great deal there. We've got the boondoggle coming up. We're just inside of 60 days now. And I see that we're up to 25 registrants on yakangler.com on the boondoggle page. And it looks like we're going to have a really great turnout and a lot of fun down there. Boondoggle, let's see, it's kayakfishingradio.com/boondoggle or yakangler.com/boondoggle. And if you're going and you haven't signed up, go ahead and put on there that you're going, because the more people that show up and stuff, the better we have our chances of going to different groups and asking them to send us some goodies to play with down there. In fact, I was looking just the other day, Dee, and you use those 12-fathom lures?
Yeah.
And you know what I like about 12-fathom? Is that you could buy like a bag of 100 of them.
Yes.
I mean, that's kind of cool. You know, you don't have to buy a bunch of different bags, you know, like going into Wally World there and filling up the little green basket with all these bags and stuff. You can just order them by the 100.
And if you do that, and instead of getting like Ziploc bags and whatnot to put in there, to take a couple here and there, mix and match, ask them for blanks of the packages that they sell the smaller sizes in, and they'll be happy to send those out to you.
So really?
You have little Ziplocs. Yeah, yeah, just ask, you know, via email. Ask the I think it's info. I'm not sure what their email address is, but they'll do that. Or I can bring a bunch down for everybody, and they can separate whatever out. But that was my plan, was bringing a bunch of different 12 fathoms down and trying to package up whatever works for everyone, and they'll get their own little package.
Cool. So you're gonna bring the right colors and everything that we'll need.
Again, I've said this before. Every place is different, so I'm just gonna bring down a conglomerate of colors and hope that something works. I can't, we'll have to ask the experienced angler of the location what he recommends. So.
Right. Well,
I don't know.
I would have thought that you, I think you're just holding out. I think you're just holding out.
That would be a lot of colors to bring down, I'll tell you.
Dee just knows. She knows all the different colors. So
I'm happy to share.
Oh, yeah.
You can do that on the website. You can buy packages of 100, or you can buy packages of 12, I think. I don't know.
Yeah, it's like a little smaller number, but it's pretty
good. I buy the big bags. So.
Yeah. And now what you use, the hooks that you use, what are those again?
I use Edgy Joe weedless hooks, or they're, depending on how you hook them up, they're weedless or not, and they also have jig heads, and you get those from Captain Joe's Fishing, or CaptainJoeFishing.com.
Right.
He has a lot of things, so I don't remember the URL every time, but I'll post it in the forum. He makes them, which is really cool, in different weights and different colors. And those always seem to work best when you try one color versus another color. I've tried just gray, and different sizes and weights, and I don't get as much of a reaction to the fish as I do with different colors. So, like, you'll, like, get the red. Everybody has a red jig head.
Uh-huh.
It does better than a white jig head or a black jig head, but they have these weedless done in that same manner. So you have glow, red, black, new penny, which is kind of a copper color. So they work out great. Different sizes, and they're must-add hooks. So you know they're good.
Cool. And threes, three-aughts, five-aughts? I'm sorry.
My favorites are twos and threes. There's other people that like four or fives. I've always had success on smaller sizes.
Cool. Well, we look forward to giving that a shot down there. Hey, Mr. Lozier, are you guys going to try to make it down to our boondoggle?
No, unfortunately for that, but fortunately for us, I will be doing a three-day fishing show in Greensboro, North Carolina. I'll be doing seminars all weekend, so as part of my native obligation, so I will not be able to attend, unfortunately. But I'll be with you guys in spirit, and I'm going to send along some MarshWorks gear with Wheeler to come down with, so you guys will have some toys to play with from us also.
Awesome. I appreciate that. It's just too bad that, but it's cool. Give us the info on your thing for those that, we got some guys that listen up in that area, and I know Wheeler will repeat it. But when are you going to be doing the seminars?
Yeah, this is in Greensboro. Where I'm drawing a blank now. The North Carolina, it's called the North Carolina Boat Show and Fishing Expo, which is in Greensboro, which is basically currently still the home of Native Watercraft Legacy Paddle Sports. So we have a big presence, obviously, at that show every year. So I'll be staying there and working the Native booth. And also, like I said, we're doing a little different this year. They used to fit all the angler, in with the regular boat fishermen, but they've lined it up now that we're going to have a whole section of the Coliseum and do our whole – it's going to be all kayak generated in one section of the building. So all day long, all the speakers will be kayak anglers, kayak guides, people like that, and then all the kayak dealers and everything will be in one part instead of being all spread out throughout the show and give all the kayakers kind of more of a place in the show because the sport's definitely taken a good foothold over there. So.
Cool.
Yeah, it's been good. I've done the show for a couple of years now, like I said, but this year it should be a lot better being able to do that. So looking forward to it.
Awesome. Well, make sure that send me your address again. I know I send you some patches and some stickers?
No, I've got nothing from you.
Damn. I suck. All right. Well, send me an email with your address, and I'll send you some patches and some stickers for that.
Yeah, definitely, yeah. Anything you got
out
from the Yak Angler or the radio show, I'll be glad to put them with my stuff.
And I'll share
it
with the Yak
whatever.
Sushi so that maybe he'll send you some Yak Angler stickers too.
Definitely.
So.
Definitely,
but,
I'll get you that email.
Yeah, chip at kayakfishingradio.com. That'll get to me. Back to our quick one on Cigatera there. Scuba Stan is the one. Leave it to a jarhead to get some crazy, weird-out disease. He had Cigatera. He was the one. So he said he got a horse-eyed jack, and nobody told him not to eat it. Why would you eat a jack? All right. And
you're a Marine, dude. You got to eat everything,
yeah,
right?
I caught a fish. I ate
all right. All right.
That's like, oh, man, that's too funny. I'm sorry to interrupt you, but this one she said that it made me laugh. When I got stationed in Camp Pendleton, the first day we checked in, they said, don't go to TJ. I checked in on Thursday. Guess where we all were Friday night?
You were
in TJ. Yeah. You don't tell a Marine. That's why it's so funny, because you don't tell them not to go. If you don't want them to go, you tell them, you guys should go to Tijuana. It's a great place to go check out. Nobody
yeah, there's lots
it.
Of family things
don't go
to do there.
It's a family
yeah, exactly. Yeah,
place.
Great tourist spot, yeah. I mean, literally, like, no lie, we checked into Pendleton on Thursday and Friday night. We were in TJ. Like, it was, I don't think the car could have got it there any faster. So she's
yep.
exactly right. Don't tell them not to because they'll do it.
Yeah, I'll stray aside from the kayak thing right for just a second to get off on a tangent. But we were in Kenya. It was my second pump. I'm a corporal, and we had just been doing a week's worth of training with the 5th Kenya Rifles. These guys were, like, just totally sick, you know, out in the bush. They lived out there. You know, you couldn't find your way around because the tree lines would get moved by the elephants in the middle of the night, so nothing looked right on a map. The roads would change overnight. And so we couldn't find anything. But after a week of being lost out in the bush, we get back to admin bivouac. We're waiting on the big gray boat to come pick us up and take us to our next port. And we're in admin, you know. The skipper brings everybody into a formation. He's like, okay, so our friends that from the 5th Kenya Rifles there, they say, you know, if you're going to go around and explore, try not to get too far away from camp. Make sure you use the buddy system. And, oh, by the way, there's a pride of lions about 4 clicks to the west, and we don't want you to go over there because it seems like they've killed something in there. There's a big pride of lions there. Where do you think we all went? It, you know,
oh,
20
yeah.
minutes after the guy, we're chasing lions around through the woods with our M16s with little red blank adapters on the front of it, you know.
Hakuna Matata.
Yeah, baby.
Blank adapter removed and cleaning rod shoved in there just in case. You never know.
But I was a Ford observer, so I had a pistol holster with a pack of red Marlboros stuck in there. I didn't have a pistol, but I did carry my e-tool with me.
Hey, we have an e-tool qualled, Chip?
Say what?
Did you get e-tool qualled?
Oh, yeah, man. I tore up a cover. So, yeah. Wonderful thing. All right. So yeah, we have to get all the kayak and jar heads together. We have to create a special page for kayak fishing jar heads. So,
well, you know, that's really amazing how many people that, regardless, I mean, I'm not obviously a Marine, but
yeah, you raised two of them.
My kids are, and yeah, and there's so many that are kayak anglers. I just had to, you know, I'm amazed at how great that is, you know.
Well, you know, it's one of those things where
Kayak Kevin was also.
Yeah.
Yeah.
I don't know if Kevin was. Yeah. He was a radio man, though, so don't, you know, I'm just joking.
But I just want to say I'm surprised at the percentage of that population, you know.
It's a challenge, you know. I mean, it's like, why wouldn't you try it? I mean, you know,
it's more of the, you'll never catch a fish on a kayak, or you'll never catch big fish in a kayak. And we go, you serious?
You really?
You know? You know? Did you know who we are? You know, try this again. Oh, you guys are going to go out, you guys are going to catch big fish on kayaks. Okay. You know, that's the biggest thing is, you know, that's why I started doing the bass fishing thing. You know, and thinking about the tournaments is my wife, she even said, I don't think you'll ever become successful in bass fishing. And I went, oh, really? So now I have to prove her wrong.
Yeah. So, yeah, I it's, you know, just one of those things of going out and trying it. I mean, I'll try anything once. I even jumped out of a perfectly good airplane one time. That was pretty stupid.
Yeah, I'm not that dumb.
There was alcohol involved, believe me.
Oh, okay, then you're good.
Yeah, there was some brain cells killed. So, anyways. All right, so what else did I have to share with everyone tonight? I had some questions to ask. I'm glad Mr. Lozier has joined us here. Mr. Becker, I heard the other evening you guys had your first Heroes on the Water event down there, speaking of jarheads and
heroes.
Military persons. Yeah.
Yes,
speaking
we did.
Of hero. And it was a success?
It was a great success. We had the opportunity to take out a gentleman, a retiree, disabled retiree, and his wife. A couple of the other folks that were scheduled had last-minute medical changes in their schedules that meant they couldn't make it. But a bunch of us got together, took these folks out, and got to fly the banner and be there for the right folks for the right reasons. So we've had some challenges getting the chapter started up here, but we think we're kind of going over, through, under, or around the obstacles that we're coming up with and or coming up against, and I think we're in a good spot. So we're looking forward to keeping this going. We've got another event tentatively scheduled for January, and we'll see how it goes.
What date in January?
Don't have a firmed up date yet. It's looking sometime in the end. We've got another paddle fishing tournament series tournament coming up at the end of the month, and a couple other things scheduled, including the Frogman Swim Across Tampa Bay that a bunch of us are supporting. So it's we're kind of trying to juggle weekends at this point, but as soon as we have a date, we'll get it out there.
Cool.
Is that the one that they have a kayak follow frogmen or swimmers, or what is that?
That is correct, ma'am. Yep.
Okay.
Yeah, that's the one that Bill had the pictures on the site there before.
Right. Yeah, he did it last year, and there are a bunch of us doing it again this year. So.
Cool. Awesome. Yeah, it is awesome. This is my two favorite endeavors is, working with Heroes on the Water. There's some other programs locally here that also do. We've done some stuff. Georgia Kayak Fishing has done some stuff with the guys, the Wounded Warrior Battalions down at Fort Benning, and taking those guys out and focus, on getting their families together and putting on a barbecue for them and just being there and having kayaks and stuff for them to mess around in and all. The MWR has been real good with us on the base. They've got a couple of nice places to fish along either the Chattahoochee River or on the base itself. They've got some stocked ponds. So, but my experience has been a lot of the guys that they just want to go out and just kind of feel the freedom of being out there paddling around, and getting their mind off of whatever it is that's bothering them and stuff. So it's a great opportunity, and makes you feel good to do something like that. So, but all right, Sam is leaving us. So good night to her. I think Scuba Stan already checked out, and we are running up on bedtime here. So, God knows I need all the beauty sleep I can get. So, but that's great, man. It's good to hear that that you guys are getting that worked out. So. Instead of, because I don't know, who is there anybody fishing Christmas Day, Christmas Eve?
Not fishing Christmas Day, but going to be fishing tomorrow with Haywood and Company. And by the way, he sends his regards to everybody and that he was just too woofed from driving today to get on the radio, but wishes everybody a happy holiday, Merry Christmas, whatever you choose to celebrate.
Make sure it gets back to him.
Yep, he and I will be fishing tomorrow morning, and then I'll be fishing with Junior Fly Reel on Christmas Eve morning.
Cool.
And then this is my wife's first Christmas in Florida, and I've already been told that at some point during the day we will be spending some time on a beach with her in shorts and a tank top so she could take a picture for Facebook. Not that she wants to rub it in anybody's face that's still up in New York. She's just saying.
You don't have to walk on the water down there, right?
Exactly right.
Awesome. So... from the chat room there, Yak Sushi says Adam, Gino, and Coach Joe, and them are going fishing tomorrow. So, D, are you? It sounds like you've got your jar heads there at the house. At least one of them that we could hear cackling in the background.
Yeah, he's hilarious, isn't he?
I know, right?
He's the one. Yeah, he's the one that'll try anything as far as who's concerned, no matter how bad. He's the one that was on the. Out in Okinawa and did a tour in Iraq and whatnot. So he's got a good feel of crap. but yeah, he
have to ask him about the Habu.
I will. Oh my gosh.
And Habu and what's that stuff? Durian. That's it.
Do what?
Durian.
Durian?
Durian. D-U-R-I-A-N.
Durian.
Yes.
Jonathan? Remember Habu and Durian? I'm supposed to ask
Jonathan.
You, but I'll ask you later. All right, he's got it in his head. We're going tomorrow to do a quick tour, photography, eco tour up Turkey Creek, which is off of the Indian River here, that takes you through some pretty big alligators and turtles and really great scenery. So hopefully that'll bring in some really cool shots. He's an avid photographer as well as fishing, obviously. So we're going to do that, and then the day after we are going, which is Saturday, we're going to head up and see if I can run into those bull reds that I've been landing all week long. So put him on that and see how he can handle the bigger fish, the overslot fish, because he's never caught one overslot yet.
Tell him you can't catch one on a hand line.
On the hemline or hamline?
Handline.
Okay.
Give him a Cuban reel and challenge him to catch a big bull on a Cuban reel.
On the handline.
Yeah. You know the Cuban reel? You know the little
yo-yo.
A yo-yo, yeah.
Oh, okay. All right. So that'll be Christmas Eve. Christmas Day is all set for football. So we're kind of hanging out.
Cool. Well, tell him Semper Fi from all of the jarheads here. And,
We'll do. Oh, and my other one is coming back to where he lives in Wisconsin tomorrow after, I think it's a month and a half training for Ranger training. I'm learning Army, not 100% on that, but he went in for a Ranger training and is finished and graduating, so he should be back in Wisconsin tomorrow after that.
So he's still in the Corps, or he's moved to the Army?
He went from Marine to Army. I'm not sure how this all happened.
I'm surprised
they
didn't make him a general.
He's going to live in his own life. I don't know what he's doing, but he's
Sorry.
Got this new career thing going. Now he's Ranger.
A Ranger. Wow.
A Ranger. Yeah.
Well,
so you graduated from Ranger School, and I don't know what the next step is. So
he'll be running the damn place pretty soon. So
I hope so.
Yeah.
I'm still learning about that whole segment. I don't know much about that Army stuff. So anybody
yeah.
want to help along is really cool.
All right.
And, I'll get him fishing yet, though.
Okay. Yeah, we used to get the jarheads on the boat and then hand them all yo-yos and have them drop baits down where we knew there was some big old grouper down there.
There you go.
And just watch them wear themselves out, hanging on to a grouper. So, yeah, and Yak Sushi, now Yak Mark is a, you know, he's a squidly guy. So, but
good taxis.
Yeah, the taxi drivers.
Yeah.
But he did remind me of Habusaki. So that's the thing you can ask your Jonathan there about Habusaki.
Habusaki, got it.
Yeah, that's pretty nasty stuff. So
I'm sure he's tried all of it.
Oh, yeah, of course. If he's been to Oki, he's tried it. So.
Oh, yeah.
I've already got the shakes just thinking about it again.
Yeah. Ooh, or
well, he
did he ever make it down to the Philippines?
3 years.
Do what?
He was there for 3 years. He did. He was stationed on the MU, on
right.
the military exploratory units.
Yeah.
And he worked on the tsunami relief effort.
Cool.
So he saw a lot of stuff I pray never to see.
Yeah.
And so I'm sure he's tried a lot of things.
Has he ever been to the Philippines?
Him?
Ask him real quick. Yeah.
Oh.
Dude. You ever go to the Philippines?
Jonathan, were you in the Philippines? Yes.
Ask him about Balut.
Ask him about what?
Balut.
Balut?
Balut. B-A-L-U-T. Balut.
I'll
Do you know
Balut.
Anything about Balut?
Okay. You got some good stories to tell. You got some balut. B-A-L-U-T, balut.
So.
You got to tell everybody what it is, Chip. I guess gross them out before they get off the air.
He says it sounds very familiar, but doesn't remember what it is because it's 6 years ago.
It's a fertilized egg that they've chicken egg. It still has chicken in it.
Oh, yeah, those are good.
Yeah. Kind of tastes like chicken soup.
Yeah, it's like a hard-boiled egg, but once you crack through the beak and skull.
Yeah.
And you get that the gut shot, you know, splash in the back of the throat. It's amazing.
Yeah.
Oh.
Good night,
my God.
Greg. Yeah.
That was
all
really,
right.
Really odd.
Yeah, so. Mr. Becker, he's taken off. I think everybody's about had enough now.
Yeah. Sorry.
So, no worries. Greg, good night. I think he's already gone.
Merry Christmas, everybody.
Yes, Merry Christmas. Happy Christmas.
Happy Christmas. Happy season.
Mr. Lozier. D, yeah. And we will be on next week. So Thursday night, we'll be winding up the year, going over the things that we thought we'll try to put together kind of a year in review. So all the funny things that we talked about and what we did in 2011 for Kayak Fishing Radio. So thanks for joining us tonight, Mr. Lozier. Enjoy your holidays.
Thank
there.
You. Yeah, same to everybody there. Merry Christmas.
All right.
Merry Christmas, Mark.
Thank you.
All right. So, Mr. Wheeler, enjoy your holiday. Those of you going fishing tight lines. And
Merry Christmas, Mark.
Merry Christmas.
Merry Christmas. Merry Christmas, Mark, and Dee and Chip and everyone else.
Good night, John Boy. There's Becker. Yeah.
Great line.
Yeah, that's a great one. All right. You guys have a good one. We'll see you next week. Merry Christmas. Happy Christmas to all. Tight lines. Hope everybody gets what they want. Where are we going with this? There we go. Good night, all.
Good night.